Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. Come on in and say hello and let us know where in the world you are joining us from. Hello, hello, my friends. Excited to see you today and spend the next little bit hanging out with Dr. Michelle Nielsen, who is AKA Dr. Mika. And we're going to be talking about self-love today, which, as many of you know, is one of my favorite topics. And so she's going to be telling us and teaching us some of the things that she's learned over a very long career in mind, body, and soul healing through a variety of different therapies. So come on in, guys. Let's say hi. Hello, Michelle. Hi, Dee. Hey, Bob. Hi, Sandy and Linda. Good to see you guys. Hi, Kathy, Teresa, Jerry, Jill. Hi, Linda and Jerry. Hello, Diane. Awesome to see all you friends. So come on in, guys, and we're going to get started in just a minute. Vivian and Sandy, Janet, Elise, Jenny. Hello, hello. All right, friends. So I'm really excited to introduce you to Dr. Mika. Let me bring her on right now.
Hello, hi, everybody.
Dr. Mika. Hi.
Hi.
So excited thanks to have you here.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. It's exciting to tune in, and thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to talk about this topic. So
yes, a great, great topic. One that we really need right now, for sure. For sure. All right. Let me introduce you so everybody knows a little bit about your background. So Dr. Michelle Nielsen, AKA Dr. Mika, is the creator of Metamorphic Theta Therapy, healing for the mind, body, and soul. As a global selling author, international speaker, and healthcare doctor, Dr. Mika comes from 28 years of experience in over 7 countries to bring you the cutting edge methods to optimize physical and emotional health. Through her workshops, private sessions, and corporate programs, she leads individuals and organizations to be at the top of their game and winning in life and business. I love that. So 7 countries.
Yes, it's been been quite an adventure, I have to say. When I first graduated from my university studies, I was quite young, mainly because I was so focused when I was younger. So I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I just powered through. And when I graduated, hence, I was quite young, and I thought, wow, if I just move back to my hometown in Canada, you know, that's going to be my life forever, and I wouldn't really have much life experience or have seen the world, because we all know what it's like when you get committed to a practice and mortgages and everything. So I had this great idea to apply for overseas jobs, and I thought, oh, I'll go away for 2 years. And that 2-year journey ended up being 28 years. And just because every time I was in a place and, you know, I would commit to a place for 2 years or whatever, then it just opens your mind. It opens up other opportunities. It just opened up so many opportunities. And so I had this, you know, I've had a really wonderful journey, literally traveled around the world doing my, you know, healing and being a student myself. And it brought me to really interesting places, like living and working in Hawaii, in Australia, in London, Ireland, and many years in Barcelona, Spain. So It's been quite an adventure.
That is so awesome. I think that's something that so many, I don't think most people have that necessarily when they're younger. You were wise enough to know at a young age that, hey, if I plant some seeds here, I'm going to be here. I'm going to root and ground here. And so out of all of the places, I know you spent the most time, you said in Barcelona, but Is there one of the places that you really were like, oh, this is like such like that you wanted to stay longer or that you loved the most? Or was it Barcelona because you were there for so long?
Well, I think probably in the end, I mean, each place was perfect for the time. Sure. And I just kind of knew innately when it was time to leave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Barcelona was, I mean, for lifestyle and culture, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was just a wonderful experience. And I ended up getting extremely involved there, you know, my practice and then, you know, the politics. And I really helped to develop my profession there. I ended up starting a university, actually, which is still running. Mm-hmm. And I'm not involved with it anymore. But yeah, I would say Barcelona was like, you know, top. But I was ready to leave because I wanted the sense of feeling like I belonged again. So mm-hmm. in order to have that feeling, I really was craving being in an Anglo-Saxon environment. Mm-hmm. And I love, there's a certain spark and spunk with Anglo-Saxons that I don't see in other cultures, which is, mm-hmm. you know, a really can-do attitude. And you know, not so much, it's not just ambition, but it's just people are very friendly and open and creative. And there's a real can-do attitude and everybody's seems to be doing something a lot more interesting. So I was really craving that, to be honest. But Barcelona is a great place to relax and have a great lifestyle. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But I just got that buzz to have, you know, a little bit more in life professionally again. So, mm-hmm.
And so you're back in Canada?
Yes, I'm back in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I spent some time just on vacation. I think we were there for 2 or 3 weeks in Spain. And what I remember, and I wasn't in Barcelona, I was in Madrid, and then we went other places, but I don't actually remember. I was many years ago. And I just remember that everybody was just so like laid back, like, whatever, the restaurant's open. Nope, it's not really open at the hours. It is. It's just open whenever it wants to be. And I'm like, wow, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, with kids, I guess that was, you know, part of the reason why I came back as well is for my kids, because I mean, it's a great place to go once you've already like created your life and you just want to like chill out. But I didn't want my kids to, you know, start their young adult life with that super chilled out attitude. I was like, okay, I think you go there afterwards, you know, go back there. So
need a little structure now and time to show up. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
I get that. Awesome. All right. So tell me how you got into, because I know you have a book or a self-mastery course, self-love mastery course. And I love the title, How to Go from Codependent to Independent and Transform from a Doormat to a Diva or a Deity. How did you get from, okay, being a doctor and doing the work that you do and then moving into something like the self-love mastery? What happened? Obviously, you learned a lot within yourself, because I think we always teach what we're learning and what we need to learn. But mm-hmm. what was the journey, Dr. Mika?
Well, the journey was pretty much, the honest answer is massive burnout. Because when you are, I think, and this might be controversial, but you know, many people who are healers and many people who are in the service industry and many people who are, you know, in the medical fields tend to be empaths, but almost too empathetic to what I call pathological empaths. So they are the givers. They are the ones that, you know, want to change the world and want to do good. But if we are a little bit too far on that scale of being a pathological empath, it's really a form of codependency. Mm-hmm. And we tend to overgive. Yeah. And so just with being in, you know, just giving all the time, giving to my patients, achieving, and you know, I basically just burnt myself out trying to do too much. And then I had to really step back and ask where that came from. And I was a very ambitious person, you know, from the outside. I sort of had all these accolades and achievements. And but what I didn't realize is that, so I was burning myself out just trying to do too much. And I didn't realize that all those achievements and accolades and everything, that they were actually filling a void, you know, that there was something inside of me unconsciously that I didn't realize that was needing outer validation, because that's essentially probably like one of the biggest signs of like lack of self-love. And it was, yeah. So it wasn't coming from a place of just, you know, building myself and fulfillment. I was trying to fill this void of not feeling good enough, you know, even though nobody from the outside would have detected that. You know, I sort of gave a facade of being this, you know, super confident person. And so that led to, you know, what some people call midlife crisis, but was, you know, basically a burnout. So I had to really recalibrate myself and work out where that came from. Mm-hmm. And then this is, you know, this is something I'm pretty embarrassed to admit publicly. And, you know, I'm just going to be like really vulnerable here. I got involved in the relationship, which was, I was at the top of my game in a lot of areas. And I met Prince Charming. He was this, you know, wonderful, tall, dark, and handsome. And we had this like amazing courting period where he, you know, took me all around the world, bought me beautiful gifts, you know, and he was just like, wow, like, how did I win this lottery? And I got involved with him very, very quickly. He was like Mr. Perfect. I thought I'd won the lottery. And once I was pretty embedded and committed and into this relationship, it turns out he was abusive. And that it was a really, really dark moment in my life. And I was like completely just apart from being devastated from being in this situation, I was just so ashamed, because here I was, you know, teaching about personal growth and everything. And I was so shocked that how could a, you know, an educated professional woman who seemed to have her life together in every single other area, like, how did I let this happen? Yeah. So getting out was very, very difficult. And, I had just had to heal myself, you know, from the pain and trauma of being in that situation. But more importantly, I had to answer the question, how and why did this happen to me? Why did I let this happen to me? Because I did not want it to ever happen again. I didn't want my daughter ever to be in this situation. And, you know, I have to admit, I was actually a little disillusioned, because of all people, I mean, I've read, because I'm in health and healing, you know, I've read every book there is to do on self-help. I've been to all the seminars. I've learned the trainings. I teach the trainings. I've been a student. I've rebirthed. I mean, I've done everything. And I was like, and this happened? I didn't get it. And so through my healing, the biggest insight was that the one thing that had never been addressed in all of these healing, you know, methods and weekend seminars was that the root cause of the problem deep inside was a lack of self-love. Mm-hmm. And so that insight was so powerful to me, and I was so determined to heal it, to prevent it from ever happening again. And it was, you know, it was a long journey. And once I realized that, and I had help in realizing that, you know, we hear that tossed around so often, mm-hmm. that concept of like, oh, self-love, love yourself, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's like some people think it's self-care, like, oh, just make time to go get some manis and pedis. But it's so much more than that. And also, even though when people realize this, because I have, you know, several friends and other people that have sort of been on this journey for themselves as well, you realize it's like, okay, now I know what the problem is. But you don't just wake up one day and go like, oh, okay, I'm going to love myself. Mm-hmm. Like there's not a how-to book. So that's really what I took a deep dive into. And when I really healed that part of myself, you know, my life transformed. Mm-hmm. Everything in my life transformed. And then I just wanted to share my journey, my insights, my golden nuggets with other people, especially women, because now that I can see and detect when people's problems are coming from this lack of self-love, that, you know, I don't want other people to have to go on a 4-year journey or a 6-year journey or a 10-year journey, you know, when I could say, you know, here's what I've learned. Here's what works. You know, here's some concrete steps you can take. And, you know, you can get through this process in 6 weeks mm-hmm. or 6 months or whatever, instead of 6 years. And, you know, and being a doctor, so not only have I been able to be my own guinea pig, so I'm also able and have been able to test what I've learned on my patients. Sure. So, I mean, you know, basically, you know what it's like when you have these epiphanies and you learn something and it's like, wow, like I want to share this so other people don't have to have this long, painful learning curve. Mm-hmm. You know, when they can have a how-to guide or know what some of the steps are and how to go about it.
Well, certainly it brings it to purpose too, right? So it doesn't make it just something that just happened. It's like, okay, that happened on purpose so that I can actually help and support people instead of it just being this random thing that, you know, okay, well, there was no reason for that. And I love that you were so open and vulnerable and sharing. We tend to have a lot of vulnerability on this show. And one of the things that I thought was interesting when you said, you know, this might be, it might be a bit controversial, the sense of, you know, those of us that are empaths being over givers. And I think it is absolute truth. Absolute truth.
Yeah.
We struggle.
Well, I say that because I think a lot of people don't want to hear that. For sure. Or they don't want to label themselves as a codependent. For but, sure. You know, I've heard other professionals say that if you're in the healing profession, you're a codependent. Full stop.
Yeah.
And there's and then that means there's just a high risk of burnout. And sure. It's interesting, if you don't mind me just going back to something you said, because, you know, it is interesting. Like you said, that purpose where, cause I remember when I was like, you know, in the rock bottom, like darkest place and, you know, didn't want to go on and didn't want another healing journey. And I remember just making a commitment to myself, and I had no idea what the end game was going to be. But, you know, my commitment was, I was like, you know, when I'm healed and when I'm in a healthy place and I'm strong and I've, you know, healed this issue, this codependency, lack of self-love, I need to make it mean something. Like, it has to be for something. Like, there's no way I can accept that I went through all this pain for nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's one of the things that drives me to, you know, share what I've learned with other people so they don't have to go through it. And even just recognizing that that's your problem,
yeah.
Is very powerful. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with you, because I think so many of us and so many women, when we haven't got it all together, you know, we think, oh, I'm just defective, there's something wrong with me. But, you know, that's not the case. It's just this area that needs to be healed.
Right. Right. Do you find that with the work that you've done, because you've been doing this for years and years and years and a variety of different forms, and obviously having your own experience, which I think just gives us more skin in the game, so to speak. Like, we're more invested in helping others because we know that pain. Because I had a very similar experience, not with abuse, but with addiction and with my ex. And so I knew that I wanted to make this have value, you know, and not just be just me. And so that was why my foundation of teaching is about, you know, loving and valuing ourselves. But one of the things that you had mentioned is that there are different ways to know how you're lacking in self-love. And I caught one of them, which is codependency. What other ways, if somebody is watching right now and they're like, I don't know, maybe not, like, I'm a healer, but I'm good. Like, how would people see if they're really wanting to look, how would they see that self-love is one of the foundational issues?
Okay. Yeah. I have long lists, but
I bet you do.
Summarize.
Give me a couple. Yeah. Give me a couple of them.
So, okay. A couple. Well, let's see. A good one is if you avoid confrontation and conflict at all costs, because that means you basically don't value your own needs and boundaries. So, and that's a really important one, because in a healthy relationship, there should be, you know, four positive interactions, one negative reaction. Not one negative interaction. So if you find yourself just really avoiding conflict and confrontation, that's usually a really big sign. If there is conflict and confrontation and you tend to accept blame very, very quickly, that's another good sign. If you feel deep down that you are only lovable or have value by what you achieve and accomplish, or by what you're doing and how you're serving another person. So if you're in a relationship and you find yourself sort of always doing something like caretaking and, you know, worrying about their needs and whatnot. So, you know, that also another sign of that, or another branch of that, is you just have trouble just, like, you know, chilling out and just being. So in other words, you don't feel like you're lovable just by being you, and you become a human doing instead of a human being. If you're always time starved and frenzied, that usually means that you have difficulty saying no, that you have difficulty setting boundaries. If you find at the end that your self-care needs sort of take are on the low end of the priority list. So you're, you know, busy doing everything else, taking care of everybody else's needs all day. And then, oh, if I have time, I will get to the gym. Mm-hmm. And then you never get to the gym.
Right. Right.
And I mean, I could go on, but another important one is any type of addiction. Mm-hmm. Because usually addictions are hiding or trying to fill a void, a hole, and they're trying to mask a pain. And an addiction is anything that gives you some short-term pleasure that you can stop doing, but has long-term consequences. Mm. So that an addiction can be anything. It can be addiction to food, the internet, social media, you know, and then the typical ones, you know, alcohol, drugs, pills, shopping, gambling, but any type of addiction. So I could go on, but I think those are some good ones. Anybody
I like that definition, Dr. Mika. I like the definition of addiction. I don't think I've heard it said that way. So anything that brings you pleasure short term that has long term effects, right? Is that the way you said it?
Yes, that you can't stop doing.
That you can't stop doing. Yeah, that's a, because I think so often when people think about addiction, they think about the basics, the sex, the drugs, and the alcohol, you know, maybe gambling, sometimes food. But when you think about that, that really opens the door for a lot of different things that you could be addicted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when we recognize those signs, we go, okay, you know, I recognize that I'm not loving myself, and I really need to work on self-love. And I have some tools. I know that I've got to do these things. How do you bridge the gap from not loving yourself to then really working on loving yourself, where some people would start to say, oh my God, you're only focused on yourself. Now you're almost on the other side. Like, I'm narcissistic. And yeah. So where's that? Yeah. Where's that balance in between?
Okay. Yeah. I love that question. I just want to add one more and then I will answer your question. I think one of the biggest risks of lack of self-love is attracting what I call ULAs, which are users, losers, and abusers. So if you find yourself attracting just the wrong, you know, whether we're talking about the dating game, the wrong people, unavailable people, you know, if you have toxic people in your life, then you probably have a lack of self-love. But so back to your question, how do we bridge the gap? So you're asking like how we start that journey of self-love?
And not go to the extreme where then it's like, okay, not go to the extreme. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, so basically what I'm talking about, and that is a great question. So I put it on a scale. So we have, imagine somebody who's in the middle, which is called healthy self-love.
Okay.
So healthy self-love means you love yourself, you're still an empath, and you tend to have relationships, harmonious relationships that are interdependent. And those kind of relationships where you're with somebody and both of you leave, you know, it's a positive feedback loop, and both of you leave like more energized and more excited and more enthused. And there's not one person, you know, who's drained or who tends to be the one always doing the work or always the entertainer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the goal, healthy self-love. Now, most people who have a problem with the absence of self-love, which I call ASL, which I'm just going to say a joke, it might not be that funny for some, but I say if you are suffering from an absence of self-love, it's called asshole, but it also means you attract a lot of assholes. Okay.
That's
excuse my language
humor.
There.
Perfect.
But that is
on
exactly
this
what happens, because people who are users, losers, and abusers, they detect overly empathetic people, and they, you know, they're like a missile, and they prey on those people. So you're very vulnerable to users, losers, and abusers. But anyways, back to your question, very important. So the people who really need this work are usually so far on the absence of self-love, more on the codependent, that it literally would take like a monumental amount of energy for them to get to healthy self-love and then advance to inappropriate self-love. Mm-hmm. So people who have inappropriate self-love, you know, there's like, it's a spectrum of toxic people, right, to people who are abusers. So, you know, you might have somebody who is a narcissist and engages in narcissistic abuse. In other words, they get their feeling of self-worth by making other people feel bad about themselves, and they thrive off of power and control. And then, you know, straight through to somebody who's a sociopath who has like zero empathy. Okay. So, you know, what I usually say to people is, if you are even asking the question and worried about being a narcissist, it's like a 99.99% chance that you're not going to be. And anybody who's really engaging in any type of self-improvement, in other words, they're admitting that, hey, you know, maybe I'm not perfect, maybe I need to work on this. Mm-hmm. It's such a low chance. Like they're so, they are an empathetic person, they're a self-aware person, and it's such a small chance that they're going to cross that healthy self-love over into the more toxic side of being a narcissist, for example.
I love that. That's exactly what I always say. If you're asking, if you're asking, you're not. Just because you wouldn't, narcissists would never even ask. They wouldn't say, do you think?
Exactly, because nothing's wrong with them. Yeah,
exactly. So I love that. That's great validation. But I do think that, I know I've had a lot of clients, maybe you have too, that they worry about that though. They go, oh my God, I don't want to be seen that way. I don't want to end up, you know, only focusing on like, oh my gosh, you're so far to go. Let's just start getting on the swing, because it's not going to happen. It's not in your nature.
But I think that's a really good point, because they do worry about it. And the truth is, when you first start on this journey and you start to put yourself first, you will experience these, it feels strange because it's so new, and you will feel like, oh my God, I'm being so selfish, and you will feel guilty, and you will actually feel these things when you're just actually being a normal human being with normal human needs that you just need to be fulfilled just like everybody else on the planet. So, but it feels very strange for somebody who is a codependent or who is overly empathetic. Pathologic and empathetic, at first, it will feel very strange to put yourself first, but very low risk of going to the narcissistic side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it gets so. And I remember in my own journey, it was so uncomfortable to find my voice, and it was so uncomfortable to, you know, not be the one that says, I'll make that, or I'll do this, or like I almost would have to like sit on my hands and shut my mouth and just be like, okay, I can't say anything here, because I know what I'm going to say is, pick me, I'll do it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. And in fact, in the last relationship, the relationship I'm in now, I wanted to set like a new precedent of not being, because I had previously found myself in these unbalanced relationships where I was the giver and the doer and everything. And I bit my tongue so many times of like helping too much, you know, doing too much, being too giving, being too accommodating. It felt really weird. And even doing that, people commented like, you know, or he commented like, you know, how nice and giving and loving and caring I was. And I was just like, oh my God, if you have any idea how much I'm holding back.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want the other person to get like used to that, because if somebody's a taker, then they just get used to it and they don't like appreciate it.
Right.
And you know, that's one of the biggest problems we have as codependents. When we give, we secretly are expecting reciprocity. Mm-hmm. We would never say that.
Yep.
We don't say it. We're not good at expressing our needs. And then consequently, resentment starts to build up. Yeah. And then, you know, all that energy has to go somewhere. You know, we fool ourselves and think like, oh, okay, I won't let that bother me, water off her duck's back. And then, you know, obviously it builds up, and then it comes out in a very unhealthy way, either in our own ill health, or, you know, one day we can just be the volcano and it all comes out at once. And then, you know, we can blindside somebody with this, you know, all this built up resentment. So not healthy.
So would you say, because I am a big believer, it sounds like you are too, that when we build up that resentment and we have this idea of, okay, you know, because we train people to be that way, right? Like we train people to be the takers because we're the givers. And so it works out really well in our unhealthy codependent relationships. But when we hold that energy inside, and you said it has to go somewhere. And I've always, since I was, you know, a teenager, believed that that emotion and that energy that's built up then goes in and it manifests as particular illnesses in the body to get our attention, to stop us, to get, stop us in our tracks and get us moving. So when we're talking about, you know, self-love, obviously, it's really important on an emotional level. But it's also important on a physical level and a mental level.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And wouldn't you agree because that they're all connected?
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. But basically just what you said, A, that energy has to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And B, when we're, you know, when we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not putting ourselves at first and getting frenzied, well, we're just, you know, creating this marinating in all these toxic hormones of stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another purpose, another reason why we want to begin to love ourselves, because then we can heal our bodies, because our body and the more we hold in our container, eventually the container can't hold anymore and it goes boom!
Exactly. Yeah.
Blows up in some area. Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple of off the cuff questions for you, Dr. Mika.
Okay.
Here at Off the Cuff, we like to get to know not just what you do, but we also like to just get to know some just little, I don't know, curious things about you. So my first question for you is, if you have any kind of a quote that you live by or that you really like, that you use a lot or that really represents kind of who you are, your way of thinking.
Well, I would say the one thing that drove me, if we just go back to the beginning of the interview when, you know, I spoke sort of about my round the world tour of healing and living. The one thing that really drove me back then even was that saying that when you're on your deathbed, you don't regret so much the things that you did, but you regret what you didn't do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did some pretty, pretty scary things, like moving to a foreign country by yourself when you don't speak the language and, you know, diving into
As a young woman, right?
As a young woman was a pretty big adventure. And I remember that quote. It was like, yeah, well, you know, if I had this opportunity and I look back and I didn't take it, would I regret it? And I thought, yeah. So I would say that's driven me a lot. And, you know, I've had a lot of very interesting life experiences because of that. So yeah, that would be my quote. You know, when you're lying on your deathbed, you're going to regret more what you didn't do than what you did do.
Yeah,
and I love that one. You know, I've made some mistakes from that quote as well.
Sure. It all adds up, right?
You know, but like the majority of the time, it's you know, it's served me and given me some pretty amazing life experiences.
Sure. So, because you've had so many life experiences, you know, in traveling all over the world, do you at this time in your life have a bucket list or a thing? Let's just pick one that you really want to experience or accomplish that you haven't yet?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's so funny because I'm 52 now. I mean, I've done so much bucket lists. I mean, you know, I've gone off pista down the back of Mont Blanc in France, and I've kite surfed all over the world, and I've done so many bucket things that really what I'm craving now is just simple things, being in one place, family get-togethers. Like, it's really great being back in Canada with my family. And, you know, it's funny that my bucket list right now is just creating community, being surrounding myself with harmonious people that are loving and supportive, and just the simple pleasures in life and being back in my home country.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great good way.
It's probably the opposite of most people. You know, when I was with some people last night and they were like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to, you know, retire soon and I'm going to travel and see this country. Yeah. And it was like, I sort of did everything backwards. Now I'm just craving just simplicity and connection.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it. So I did see that you kite surfed all over the world. So where was the most fabulous? I haven't tried it yet. So my husband's a sailor and we have surf ski, sailboats and all that kind of stuff. And I've seen the kite surfing. I'm like, I totally want to do that. And I have a friend that actually has tried to do it many times and hasn't been able to get going on it. I'm like, I totally want to do that. So where's the best memory for kite surfing for you?
Well, fabulous. I mean, paradise, like dream kite surfing is in Turks and Caicos Island in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And so I spent the first part of 2020 there. Actually, I was going to work and live and work there for the year, and then COVID hit, but paradise, perfection.
Okay.
Warm water every day, good wind, no scary sea animals, no sharks, and beautiful, beautiful place. Perfect for kite surfing.
Awesome. All right. With all the healing that you've done, what would you say is still your greatest challenge?
Ooh, you mean I have to be like a real human being and not this like super perfect self-help guru that has it all together? What would I say? Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I wasn't expecting. I would say, you know, the biggest challenge is, good question. Well, it's a small challenge because I'm so much better at it, but I would say just self-compassion, not being so hard on myself and not putting so much pressure on myself. So again, it's just that ongoing relationship that we have with the voice in our head. And through my self-love journey, I've learned to make that voice in my head my best friend and to be encouraging and loving and to be my own parent and to give myself all the loving and safety, love and protection that I would want from a parent. But some days I have to remind myself, and sometimes that voice can go back to its old and naughty ways. It's myself so nicely. So sometimes I have to, you know, really, you know, really recalibrate that and keep that relationship with the voice in my head healthy, strong, and positive.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it's helpful for people to see that, you know, you can be 28 years into this, you could be 20 years into this and you can have all the awareness here and there's still life happens and still triggers that happen. And sometimes that stuff comes out sideways and we have the awareness to then redirect it much quicker. And then, and that's really the gift. Beautiful, beautiful.
I mean, even the awareness is so powerful because, you know, you think of so many people that are suffering emotionally, mentally, or whatever, and it's just who they are and they don't even, you know, they don't even realize they have a choice or they don't even realize that it's their thing or their pattern. It's just happening to them. So
yes, thank you for sharing. I know some of those questions are personal questions, but that's what I like to just get to the heart of some of us, you know, and some of the things that might be happening. So Dr. Mika, thank you so very much. I know that people may want to track you down and I've put your www.drmika.com/love because you have a gift that people can grab there. And if you want to just tell them how they, what they can find there. So they know where to go.
Sure. Yeah. Well, on my website, which is drmika.com, you can find me, but I made a special page for people listening to this. So if you go to drmika.com/love, I've included a free gift, a download, which is a hypnosis session because I practice metamorphic hypnotherapy. So it's a very beautiful 20-minute, it's like a therapeutic meditation, just very relaxing. And it's all about practicing self-love. It's very powerful and rewires the brain. And then once you're there, if you're interested to take it further, I will be posting the information on my self-love mastery course. And I also have a free webinar coming up. It's going to be launching soon, which is how to crush codependency and go from codependent to independent and transform from being a doormat to a diva.
I love it. I love it. I love that title.
But yeah. Just for simplicity, you know, if you just want to get the download and have a beautiful self-love session, just on my website /love.
Beautiful. Yeah. You can't, there's nobody that can, that would not benefit from a self-love session, period. That's just anybody, anytime, anywhere. That can always be a value. So I hope you guys go and check that out. All right, Dr. Mika, would you like to leave our viewers with any last message from you, my friend?
Any last message? Yeah, I guess just, I guess I'd just like to give a quick actionable step that people can take. Because practicing self-love, you know, a big part of it is developing a better relationship with that voice in your head. And, you know, you can try all the therapy and, you know, try and bombard yourself with affirmations and everything. But one of the things I found the most helpful is to remind myself that I am made up of all these interesting bits and pieces of myself, and part of my psyche is my inner children. So if you just close your eyes and have a conversation with your inner children and just commit to them, because you're committing to yourself, that you are going to give them the safety, love, and protection that they need. And then just remind yourself from there that every time you talk to yourself in your head, that you're talking to those inner children. Mm-hmm. So it just helps you to be a better parent to yourself. And then a really nice way to remind yourself of that, because you would never talk to yourself the way some of us, I mean, you would never talk to your children or any child the way some of us talk to ourselves. And so really just quick and easy way to remember that is on your phone, your iPhone or Android, make your screensaver a really cute picture of yourself as a child. Mm-hmm. And so just for the next 2 weeks, you know, every time you look at that, just remember, every time you talk to yourself, you're talking to these beautiful inner children. Mm-hmm. And that can just, you know, help get that, you know, that inner dialogue to be much more loving, caring, and practicing self-compassion. And I guess, yeah, just signing off in that, hey, you know what? We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And you know, everyone that you admire and you look up to and you think has it all together, that after working in 7 countries and with thousands of people from all different levels of life, I've worked with very wealthy people, very famous people, everybody is suffering from this lack of self-love. So you are not alone. We're all in this together. So.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to have you on. Thank you, friends. We have several people that asked, and I heard you answer this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you to wrap up. Is they want to know if you found love again.
You mean external love?
Like relationship love, yes.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah. So I'll just, yeah, of course. Let's end on the Harlequin moment.
That's right. Yes.
Yes, because I tell you what, you know, that is so important, because it's so cliche, but when you love yourself, like, and you develop this, like, loving relationship with yourself, right, you attract a completely different type of person. So, I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I'm in a relationship with this super kind, massively wealthy man who treats me like a princess, and yes, it's been very new for me, and I mean new, this experience of being taken care of, and I'm not saying financially, I still do my own thing and everything, don't get me wrong, but you know, I've never been in a situation where I have done so little in a relationship. All I'm doing is just being me, and received so much love and care and attention. And it's just so wonderful just to be loved for who I am. And I'm just out of this cycle of like trying to prove myself, you know, and, you know, making sure like, oh, what can I do to keep him interested? And am I serving him? I'm just like bopping along doing my own thing and doing my own life. And he's just, you know, loving me and whisking me off to wonderful places. Well, pre-COVID, but so right. Yes, to answer your question, I did find love again.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dr. Mika. We appreciate you. Thanks for being with us. And all of you can go check her out, drmika.com/love. Have a fantastic rest of your day, guys. I will see you tomorrow at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time for the next episode of Off the Cuff. Next week or next tomorrow, you just get me. No interview, it's just me. We'll see you then. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.